the right time. The right time is any time with God. God wants you and I to understand that to Him, time doesn't exist. See, in eternity, there's no such thing as time. God is spirit. He must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. In the spiritual realm, there is no time. No time. Isn't it strange that the creator of time, He created it for us while on planet Earth, says that anytime I want you to come to me. Anytime is every time that you find yourself hurting. Every time you find yourself victorious. Praise God. God says, pay attention to your life. See what that life matters and what it means for me. You see, your life means something to God. Now, hear me. God created you for a purpose. Now, the great purpose that God created us for was for Him to love us. That's why you were created, to be able to be loved by God and to have the ability to love Him back. So I'm created as a recipient of God's love. And God said, I'm going to pour so much of my love out on you. I want you to remember something. That you're going to have so much of my love in you that you can't hold all that love and it's just going to bubble out all over you. I want you giving it away to somebody who doesn't feel me. It's the right time, he said. The time has come. Listen to 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2. For God says, at the right time, I heard you. At the right time, I heard you. On the day of salvation, I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. You didn't wake up this morning and say, oh, I missed it. No, you didn't. You didn't miss a thing. You woke up this morning, you were given a perfect day. Now, if it gets messed up, don't you blame God for it. He gave you a perfect day. And if that day seemed to be going downhill, guess who's dragging it down there? It ain't God. Because God said, I give you my love. Now, all my yesterdays are gone. I can't do a thing about yesterday. You can't either. Those days are gone. I have two time periods left in my life, just like you. I have today and eternity. I have today and I have eternity. That's the only time periods that I have left in my life. What am I going to do with it? Have you found yourself that so often, when you know that God is touching your heart, that God has His hand on your life, that you say, oh, this is procrastination at its worst. I'll serve you tomorrow, Lord. I'm just not worthy today. Well, let me help you out with that one. You're never going to be worthy. The only thing that brings you into the presence of God is His worthiness. He sent Jesus for you and for me. And He says, my Son is worthy. Well, guess who sent my name to the book? It's His Son. Jesus knows my name. He knows your name. And he didn't keep it a secret. Jesus is not ashamed of me. Other people may be, but Jesus is not ashamed of me. He's written my name down. I'm on his Christmas list, Brother Randy. I'm in his book. My name's right there, Larry Pete. Right there in his book. But do you know something that means so much to me and should mean so much to you? My name is written on his heart. The heart of God loves me. He sent his son, his heartbeat, his one and only son to die for me. And he says, I want you to accept my son. The mother travails during birth. The pain of birth. And all of us men have said, well, I understand. No, we don't. We do not understand it. But God does. Jesus travailed on that cross. Because he was giving birth to his offspring, us, his church. Jesus travailed all the pain and all the agony. He went through it. And his pride and joy, you're looking at each one of us. His church, united together. Not separated through foolishness, through bickering. Who cares what color the carpet is? I know the color of the blood of my Savior. It's crimson. I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. And he says to me, today is your day, Larry. How do I know today's my day? Yeah, I'm breathing. I woke up. The Lord said, here's your day, Larry. Perfect. Came outside. Perfect. The sky is exactly where God put it. Still there. The sun. Yep. Man has not controlled it, nor will he ever. You are God's creation. Man can never control you. Don't you ever allow it to happen. Because you are an individual creation of God, created to be loved and to love back. What a gift. Well, we know in the Baptist denomination, we speak of being born again all the time. Because we know that. I'm going to read the scripture in a moment. You must be born again. Let me give you a little lesson on that. The Greek, which I cannot pronounce, on the term born again. And don't forget, I've told you this. For the English language is very intense for anybody to learn. How do I know it? Because I'm still working on it. I came from Kentucky, Buffalo. So still working on it. Very intense. So in the Greek that paints a picture, each word paints a picture, it can take up to 15 English words to translate that one word. So when you hear 15 different words there, don't say, well, one of them's got to be wrong. No, it doesn't. That's our English language. And it takes those 15 words so it can be used. So what do we have? We have the term born again. Okay, I can relate to born again. Then we have that term born anew. Okay, that's fine. Born again, born anew. And then we have the term born from above. all representing that one word phrase, really, that gives us this from the Greek. So at my beginning, as a Christian, I can tell you I'm born again. Born again. That means that I got to witness that transformation from the human existence to the realm of God by being born again. I've accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior of my life. That's my beginning. Folks, to begin in this life, growing up, and to live in it without being born again is a horrible way to live. I accepted Jesus. Listen to John 3, verses 5 through 7. Jesus replied, "I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water." That's the human birth. That's not baptism. Don't get into that. Listen to me. Being born of water and the Spirit. You're born as a human being. And in order to enter the kingdom of God, you got the first part down already. You're a human being. But you must also be born of the Spirit. Now, Brother Larry, how you know that don't mean baptism? Because Jesus is speaking and Jesus says so. Listen to him. Humans, in verse 6, can reproduce only human life. That's what he was talking about, the human life. But the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. You got it? The human life, and then that human life being born again into the spiritual realm. That means you and I were given the freedom of choice. Now, in saying that, let me tell you this also about baptism. Jesus said to follow him in baptism. Therefore, I was baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. He says, when you say yes to me, I want you to get in that water. And I want you to show all those that are witnessing that you believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You better believe it's important. We're commanded by Jesus to be baptized. Many people aren't because, well, I just don't want to do that in public. Jesus did that in public for me. He went to that cross. He looked at my heart. 2,000 years ago, Jesus sees me. Well, that makes me pretty important, just like you. Because see, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. We are the body of Jesus. That is an honor. Do you hear me? That is an honor. And it is an honor that we should respect. You must be born again. So, in my younger years, as I told you, I cannot remember growing up. I do not remember a time when I didn't believe in Jesus. I really don't. Now, at 8 years old or thereabouts, I told you all that I went forward and accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior in my life. At the Buffalo Baptist Church, Brother John Wall was preaching. I go forward, I accept Jesus. Your pastor even walked down that aisle. I'd by myself in church. Walked down that aisle, but I wasn't by myself when I walked down it. That first step was like my feet were in concrete. You know, to walk out from that pew, that's the way Baptists do it. So I take that first step, which was heavy, and then I floated the rest of the way. I mean, I was just scooting right on down there. I get to the front. Brother John Wall says, "Larry, do you want to tell the people?" I mean, they look like you all did. Scary. At an 8-year-old, think of that. And I said, "I've accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior of my life. I want to follow him in baptism and become a member of this church." Now, where did that come from an 8-year-old who wasn't that churched? I can tell you. That came from the Lord. They needed to hear that. But I also told you that adults got involved. Adults drive me crazy. Adults got involved. You're too young. He doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't know what he's saying. He went forward because his brother went forward. No, I didn't. I went forward because I'd accepted Jesus as Lord and saved my life. I couldn't wait to get down there. My feet just wouldn't move fast enough. And it was right at the age of 14, I told you all that other story, at another church that told me that I had to cry and do all that stuff. This spitting all over my fingers, got those tears worked up, pinched my eyes, got them red. Somebody, my aunt, said, "He got through." Really? They think I'm crying. I'm laughing. I'm finally going to get to be baptized. And I'm sure all the angels and all the saints in heaven were cheering me on. Finally. But you see, it was that initial beginning, born again, part of my life that gave me the courage to take the stand and gave me the wisdom to spit in my fingers and make it look like I'm crying when I'm so happy. Didn't need to cry. But then I want you to look at this one. The next meaning on that is born anew. Well, at 30 years old, I've been in the Marine Corps, been in business, 30 years old, the Lord calls me to preach. Now, my lifestyle and all, at that time, was not exactly what you would say was preacher material. It was God's material. I had lived life. Folks, I'd been in combat. I had even in the Dominican Republic almost being killed. I'd been through it. And I thought I knew everything about life. What's life going to teach me? I'm 30 years old. I know everything. God touched my life, called me to preach. I realized I didn't know anything. Now, I don't know why I'm giving you my testimony today, but there must be a reason for it. So as God then deals with my life, I can see now that that was my being born anew. Already got it. I'm already going, Brother Randy. But now I have a new direction that God has given me right in the middle of life. 30 years old, Larry, go preach. And nobody gonna listen to me, Lord. From that next Sunday that I preached, that first sermon, every Sunday after that, I was somewhere preaching. Then God wanted to give me some more training. So he decides And I'm sure with all the love of his heart and the twinkle in everybody's eye around him, I'm going to call you, Larry, to preach in prison. Oh, right. 20-some years I was in the prison system as chaplain, preaching the gospel. And then, 26 years actually, and then, you know what happened? Once again, now, been born again, born anew, I found out something, Brother Randy. That was training. You know what it was training for? In 1994, May, I was called to come to Vine Grove Baptist Church as interim. God sent me to prison all those years to train me to be a pastor. That says something to you folks, all of us, doesn't it? Larry, I'm going to give you good training because you're going to need it when you get in the pastorate. You know why? It deals with life and every individual. Brother Randy, I'm sure can attest to this. I know that he does about me. When I tell you that your pastor loves you, that man knows I mean every word of it, all the way down to my spirit. I love you. That's why I'll tell you the truth. That's why I will preach God's word the way God calls me to preach it. And that's why when I'm in the middle of a message and God decides to change my path, I'm going to chase that rabbit, if we call it that. But I'm going to go in this direction. I've been born anew. A new purpose. A new direction. That new direction was now. I want you to preach. I want you to learn. I want you to study. I want you to study. I want you to study. And I want you to study, Larry. Don't ever think that because you get a degree, it's over. That's just the beginning, folks. You study. You study what's important in life. And to me, what is important to life is every spirit that is out there. Every heart that is broken. Every pain that individual feels, a pastor needs to feel it. Every discouragement, I need to have went through it. And I need to have seen the way to come out on the other side. Train. Study the Word of God. Lead. And tell them, Larry, how much you love them. See, love is powerful. Love raises the dead. I read that part too. Do you know why Jesus came back from the grave? Because he loves you and me. He conquered it all. And I mean when I say conquered it all, he conquered all my failures. He conquered all my brokenness. He conquered all my pain. He conquered all of the sorrow that can be put on me. Jesus conquered it on that cross. And it's always him that reaches right down in that ditch of life and says, come on, Larry. I don't have to say it to you again, Lord. I know who it is. He always reaches down to grab me. You listen to Born Anew. John 5:24. I tell you the truth. Boy, Jesus, you know, when he started out, he said, okay, boy, I'm not fooling around here. I want you to hear the truth. And then he said, oh, by the way, I am the truth. I am the Word. Oh, don't you get it? The Word of God is God. I am the Word. I am true life. I am true love. I am truly yours. And when you give your heart to Jesus, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. Remember what Brother Randy was saying to you earlier? See, he and I get the messages from the same one. We have the same book. It's called the Bible. We have the same Holy Spirit that touches our life. And the Lord says, listen to him, whoever hears my word, believes him who sent me, has eternal life and will not be condemned. He means by him, by the Father. No judgment can come upon us. I've been judged on the cross. You got it? You catching it? Now listen to this. He has, past tense, past tense, you got it? I have been, past tense. He has crossed over from death to life. The Lord says, count it as though you're already here. That's why Jesus loves us so much. He sees me complete. I see me incomplete. You see me incomplete. Jesus completed me. And that's how he sees me. And he says, Larry, you've been born anew. You will not be condemned. You have crossed over from death to life. Already done. I'm already there. The rest of me just hadn't caught up yet. Jesus, do you ever notice you're slow on catching on to things? Older I get, the slower I get. Older I get, the less I care how slow I am at catching on. But God says, don't worry. I've mapped it out. I got it laid out. And by the way, Larry, you're already here. But you got to finish what I've called you to do in the body first. Now, you see, I'm not allowed to give up. You will not see your pastor whining and saying how I gave up. Now, the Lord is the one in charge as to how these cancers inside of me live or die. And he's in charge of me, and I got news for you. I can't die. I'm already there. I have to leave this body to get there, but I can't leave this body until I have finished what God has called me to do here on earth. That call that he gave me, a born anew at 30 years old, it's still new to me. I'm still excited over it. And then the Lord says, pay attention. Larry, give them this word from me. You better hurry up. You better hurry up. I've given you all that's needed. I've reached out my hand. You better hurry up. To hurry up. You know, the Lord always has hurried up to make sure that you and I have that peace. It's a peace that only he can give. Then that brings us to our eternal reality. Born from above. Now, in saying born again, born anew, I want you to know that the closest one that will depict the meaning of this is this one, being born from above. Don't you remember? Jesus says you have to be born in a human condition because you have a choice. Humanly, you have a choice. A dog's going to bark. He doesn't have a choice. A dog or an animal is going to follow the traits of those animals. But man doesn't have to. We're given a choice. I don't have to go where you go. I don't have to do what you do. I don't have to run with the pack. I am an individual called by God, created for His purpose. Our eternal reality born from above. 1 Peter 1:23. For you have been born again, but not to a life that will quickly end. You hearing me? Your new life will last forever. Oh, that's a long time. Because it comes from the eternal living Word of God. You are an eternal being. You can't die. But you'll even get a new glorified body one day. Remember I told you the other week? You got three bodies. You got the one you're in. You've got the spiritual body you're going to get while you're waiting with the Lord for Him to come. You didn't come back with Him. I get to come back with the Lord for the resurrection day. Jesus had the glorified body. That's the body that you want to know what you're going to look like. Whatever His glorified body looked like, that's what you're going to look like. You're going to look like you, glorified. You know, difficult, isn't it? Especially when you get to a point in your life and you say, Lord, you just made me so good. I don't know why my wife would ever complain. But one day you're going to get glorified, Brother Joey. Joey, glorified, brother. You're going to look better than Wendy thinks you do already. That's the gift from God. Romans 8, second part of verse 29. Here was the key. To become conformed to the image of His Son. Amen. That's what it's all about. Listen, folks. It's the right time. It's the right time to do the right thing. It's the right time to glorify God. In doing all of that, I want you to remember something. Your pastor loves you. I care whether you hurt. I had much rather see me with this pain and with these cancers than any one of you. That's a fact. And I mean it. I love you, but not as much as God does. He sees you already perfected. Me and you have to look at each other as just sort of, but we still love each other. I truly love you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for love. Thank you for life. Thank you for the gift of friendship. Thank you for your callings. Thank you, dear Lord God, for the adversity in our life. Thank you, Father, for the pain. For in it we see your glory. And Lord, I ask now that your protection will be upon the flock that you have given me. That your love will surround them, Father, while I am gone. And I ask, Father, that you will touch each of their life. Bring peace to them. Help them, Father, to grow in your word, in your love. Until you, Father, put me where you want me. And we as a church together will sing loud. We'll laugh boldly. We will love with power. And we will give all that we have to glorify you until supper time comes in heaven. We ask that blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. During a time of invitation, it's an invitation for you to make the commitment to Jesus Christ. It's the right time. You can call me anytime. And I mean that. You have my cell number, day or night. I want to talk to you. I want to share Jesus with you. And I want to help in whatever you're dealing with. And may God's blessings be upon each of you. Randy will be taking over for me for the next two Sundays in preaching. I hope to be back in the pulpit on the 22nd to preach a message for our Thanksgiving season to kick that week off correctly. I pray God's will be done. Whatever will be, let it be. In Jesus' name.